Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shiur that ended with the completion of Daf Yud Omid Beis, we left off in the middle of a discussion. So in order to get into today's shiur, we have to do a little recapping. We can do that with the aid of the summary or topic headings that we have on the side of the daf. At the lower part of daf, Yud Omid Beis, we have a title, Nosei Kloli, and we indicated there that it extends till daf Yud Beis Omid Beis. So the general topic is Temidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibur. These are animals that were set aside to serve as the daily sacrifice, the daily public sacrifice, Tomet Shel Shachar and Tomet Shel Bein Arbayim. And if you arrive at a point in time when the animals that were set aside, that were sanctified for that purpose, are in fact not necessary, and in the context of the previous year we discussed or mentioned briefly that that situation arises every year at the end of Chodesh Adar, or more accurately at the beginning of Chodesh Nisan, when the new fiscal year sets in, and in the stocks, in the supplies or the inventory of the Beis HaMikdash, they already had some sacrifices, animals, living animals, before they were actually slaughtered. They had a supply of animals for the daily korban that were purchased with the previous year's fiscal funds. The halacha says that animals that you use must be purchased with the current year's funds. So that's the situation that gave rise to the Temidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibur. Then we got into the din of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says that Temidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibur Niftin Temimim, that those animals can be redeemed even before they develop a mumen, a bodily imperfection. This is very unusual, because in general, animals that are set aside and sanctified and with Kiddushas Haguf, they cannot be redeemed. The only situation that would allow for their redemption is if they develop a mum. But prior to that, generally speaking, no redemption. And comes along Rabbi Yochanan with his chiddush that Temidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibur, these animals that were found out to be not necessary for their original design, can be redeemed temimim, even without a mum. The Gemara then got into a section that we have bracketed off, and it's within that section that our shiur will be continuing today. So in our structural note, the lower part of Daf Yud Amud Beis, you notice we featured triangles, and we called them ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. So we introduced Rabbah. Rabbah is, for our purposes, a representative of Rabbi Yochanan in this sugya. And he explains that you have to say this, the idea that they can be redeemed without a mum. He represents, as we say, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Chista attacks him and says, well, how in the world can you redeem them? Where did their Kedusha go? In other words, as far as Rav Chista perceives things, one cannot talk about the redemption of a creature unless there's some kind of diminishing of its sanctity. But if it's still without a mum, its original sanctity level is there. So Rav Chisda responds with an expression, and he says, "V'chi kedusha shebohem lehechan holcha? Where did their sanctity go? Where unto what did it transfer itself that you can allow for the original item to be redeemed? In other words, the original item still has its original high level of sanctity, which would prevent it from being redeemed." Rabbah, at the beginning of the bracketed section, comes back and says, What, you don't agree with this idea that that should not pose a problem of the namely what you refer to as Kedusha Shaben Lahechan Ofa, where did the Kedusha go? The issue of where the Kedusha went doesn't preoccupy me, and there's a precedent for saying this, that it does not preoccupy me, and the precedent was from the incense, the Ktores, that too was substance that was sanctified for the Beis HaMikdash, for offering on the Mizbeach HaZahav. This Ktores was used daily, and in addition there was a special Yom Kippur Ktores offering. We find that that Ktores was redeemed and used to pay the artisans, the umanim, in the Beis HaMikdash. So what do we see? We see redemption of something that has sanctity without the appearance of a mum. And to that, Rabbo says, at the second line from the bottom of Yud Amid Beis, he says, V'amai, Nemo, Kedusha Shabem Lehechan Ocha. Why not say the same objection that you're raising against me in the context of the daily sacrifice, the Tamimim, the Korban Tomid sacrifice redemption? Why not raise that same objection with regard to the Ktoris, where you see it being redeemed as well, without any appearance of a mum in the incense, and the redeemed Ketores then being used to pay the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, umnin, artisans. The bottom line of Yud Amud Beis has Rav Chisdo responding, and that's indicated by the inverted triangle. That we also indicated in our Nivneh note, that the inverted triangle are the Kushios ve'imrois levasis ha-Kushios. They are statements of Rav Chisdo. Remember, Rav Chisdo came on the attack originally, attacking Rabbah. So when you see an inverted triangle, that will represent the position assumed by Rav Chisdo. So Rav Chisdo says, if you're going to try to substantiate your position by using the Ktoris as a precedent, I have a response to that. Omarlei, Ktoris Koamris, you're trying to object to my objection from the Ktoris source, Shiny Ktoris, the Kedushas Domim Hu. We are now at the top of Yud Aleph, Omid Aleph, which is, in fact, the Shiur for today. So Rav Chisdo says that the Ktoris is not parallel to the Tamidim issue, the Tomid, the daily Tomid sacrifice, because the Ktoris has something called a Kedushas Domim status, lower level of sanctity than the Korban Tomid had, which was Kedushas Aguf. At this point, there evolves a discussion concerning this particular labeling of the Ktoris as Kedushas Domim. And this discussion will take place, will occupy the Gemara basically till the end of the bracketed section. Ela Me'ata. So the Rabbah position comes back and says, if that's true, that the Ktoris has a mere Kedushas Domin status, which, as we mentioned, was a lower status than the Kedushas HaGuf that the Tomid had, and with this lower sanctity status, the Kedushas Domin status, Rav Chisdo was trying to say, it poses itself as something that's able to be redeemed. It's redeemable even without a mum. Well, if that be the case, that it has only Kedushas Domim, loy tifsal b'tvul yom, then it should not be subject to being rendered impure by a tvul yom. A tvul yom is an individual that had been tomei, immersed himself in a mikveh, but the sunset had not yet set in. In other words, it's still daytime. It's pre-shkiyas hachama. A tvul yom is an individual who, as we mentioned, had been tamei, and we can say, in a manner of speaking, that his tuma status is weakened as different time points set in. We mentioned immersion in the mikveh. That would be the first stage of reducing his tuma level, and then he still is tamei, but he requires the setting of the sun in some cases to completely erase the tumah status, and there are certain cases that he has to wait till the next day to bring korbanos. But for our purposes, A tfu yom is a certain status of tuma, albeit a weakened state, but he's still considered tome with regard to many halachas. However, if you say that the keturis has mere kedushas domim, then a tvul yom should not be able to affect it. Aloma tanya, before we go too much further, just note that to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, there's a triangle with a vertical dashed line. That is here to show the length of which this particular comment takes. It takes all of these lines. So, the Rabbo position in response to Rav Chisda's note, he says, if you're correct that it has kedushas damim, then it should not be affected by a tfu yom. Aloma tanya, why then, as the Gemara says on the second line from the top, why then does it say in the following Tanaic source, nosno b'machteshes nifseles b'tfu yom, when the materials that comprise the incense, the keturis, are placed in the vessel called a machteshes, a grinder, why is it that at that point they become susceptible, the keturis becomes susceptible to impurity through a tvul yom? The fact that a tvul yom can affect it, that indicates that it must have kedushas haguf. At this point, we have an internal brackets. These brackets would suggest that we skip momentarily in order to preserve the flow of the reading. So if we do that, we now come back to a response from the Rav Chisda standpoint. You notice with the bracket length indicator, we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, we have a dotted vertical line. Not to be confused with the dash dotted line, but the purely dotted vertical line. This indicates the length of these internal brackets. So, after Rabbo claims that it probably does have kedushas haguf by the fact that it becomes posel through a tvul yom, skipping the brackets momentarily, Elomai, so Rav Chisda comes back and says, kedushas haguf hi, then you are you claiming that it does have kedushas haguf? Unlike myself, which I said kedushas domim, if it really has kedushas haguf, elomayato tifosel belina, then it should become rendered unfit by having been left overnight. That's the psul lina, where something stays over till the next morning. Aloma tnan, so why does it say in the following Tanaic source that the following Tanaic source features, amongst other things, the Keturis, and you can see that that's dashed, underlined in the source, and it also indicates that if that Keturis is, after it's prepared, after it's ground up, it's then placed into a special service vessel called a Kli Kodesh, and the Tanaic source makes reference to Kitshoi B'Kli, when the Keturis is, and you can see that that's also dashed, underlined in our Tanaic source, once the Keturis is placed in this new service vessel, then it becomes subject to Belina, and that's the subject to the Psul of Lina, which is also dashed, underlined at the very end of the source. And we can infer, as the Gemara does at the end of the source, Kitshu B'Kli in, when does it become rendered Posul Belina? Only if it has Kedushas Kli, Lo Kitshu B'Kli, Lo. If it's not sanctified in the special service vessel, then it doesn't have Kedushas, it doesn't become Posul Belina. And from this it's mashma that the Machteshes that we mentioned before doesn't give it a Kedushas Haguf status. And as I said, says Rav Chisda, the Keturis basically as mere Kedushas Domim. To that, Rabbo will respond, if you're trying to prove your point of Kedushas Domim from the Psul Lina, from that detail, that it doesn't generally carry it with it, a psul lina, that is not an objection to the kedushas haguf status. And that, you can see, is Rabba's response with the upright triangle. Omar Lay, we're looking at the Gemara more than halfway down the page with the upright triangle at the beginning of the line. Omar Lay, lino ka'amris. Rabba says, you are trying to prove your point from lina. I will tell you that the Torah has Kedushas HaGuf even before it's placed in that special service vessel, shiny Torah. But the Torah is different in that it repels, or it's immune to the psulina, hoyo v'tsurasa b'chol hashana kula, since it's a dry substance that doesn't change its form all year, and as a result of it maintaining its original form from the point that it's prepared till it's actually used, it doesn't change form at all. Therefore, the psulina does not set in when it comes to the Keturas. However, that aside, the Keturas has Kedushas HaGuf. So it's a form of Kedushas HaGuf that does not have a psulina associated with it. But we do see, says Rabba, that it does, it is subject to a psul of Tfu Yom, indicating, as I said, it has Kedushas HaGuf. And as far as that's concerned, we see the Ketores with its Kedushas HaGuf being redeemed even without a mum. And with that having been said, this whole discussion comes to a climax, and the Gemara continues at the very end of the bracketed section. It says, Mikol Mokom Kashya. Still, the issue could be raised, B'chi Kedusha Shebehen L'Heichon Hocha. What about the Kedusha? What about its high sanctity level? Whether you're talking about the Ketores or you're talking about the Tamidim, how do you explain that? Even according to Rabba, who represented Rabbi Yochanan, how do you explain that phenomenon of something being redeemed when it still has its original highest form of Kedusha? To that, Rabba offers his monumental explanation, which appears right after the brackets. We'll mention it in passing right now, and that is, and you can see Rabba's name is fireboxed, Omar Rabba, Leiv Bezdin Masne Alehem. When it's originally brought to its sanctity, when it's originally sanctified, namely prior to its sanctification, there is already a condition placed upon it. In other words, it's a conditional sanctity. It's not a situation where it achieves this very high level of sanctification and without any conditions attached to it. And that would raise the wonderment of where did the Kedusha go? No, these things, the Ketores and Tamidim, they receive a conditional sanctity. That's called Leiv Bezdin Masna Lehem, the court, so to speak. That body that's responsible for its becoming Kadosh issues a condition and says, if it's needed, im hutzrichu hutzrichu, v'im lav yulud mayim. If the items will be used for their original purpose, then fine. If not, then the sanctity that they get will have only a kedushas domim status. So, when you look at the Tamidim, the daily sacrifices that at the end of the fiscal year are left over, and in fact are now seen, these will not be used at all as Tamidim, because they were purchased with the previous year's funds. Therefore, they never got Kedushas HaGuf status, and as such, they can be redeemed even though they don't have a mum. We presented this sugya using the markings in order to navigate, but now it's our obligation to go over the Gemara and straight through as it appears on the daf. We will now go back to the Gemara at the top, even though we learned these particular lines, but this will enable us to get into the flow, including the bracketed section, the internal bracketed section. So going back to the top, we have Rabba responding to Rav Chisda and saying, Elo Me'ato, according to you, that says that it has Kedushas Domim status, Lo Tifsal B'Tvul Yom, it shouldn't become rendered unfit by contact with a person who's a Tvul Yom, the person who went to the mikveh, but it's pre-Shkiyas HaChama. Alo Matanya, so why does it say, Nosna B'Machteshes Nifselas B'Tvul Yom, that when the incense is placed in the grinder, then it becomes subject to Psul Tvul Yom? So from this we see that it must have Kedushas HaGuf. Otherwise, standard Kedushas Domim items do not become possible through Tvul Yom. V'chi teimo, and if you suggest kol kedushas domim mifsali b'tvul yom, that that the fact that it becomes posel through yom does not show kedushas haguf, the highest level of sanctity, but rather all kedushas damim items also are posel through contact with a tfu yom. That's not true. V'ha tanan, we have a Tanaic source that says hamenochas moyalin b'hem mishehukdeshu. Meal offerings, menachos are offerings from that are brought from the flour based, that they are subject to mi'ilah, to the violation of using or benefiting from that which is sanctified is called mi'ilah. They become usur to be used once at the point they're sanctified. Kitchu b'kli, when they are put into a service vessel, a kli shares, hukshuru li posel b'tvu yom, they become posel through a contact with the tvu yom person that we already introduced, uva mechusar kipurim, ubalina. And they can also, the mincha can become posel also through contact with a mechusar kipurim. He's a person that, in addition to the mikveh and the sunset, he needs to bring korbonos on the next day, and until he brings his korbon, he is called tome, and he's referred to as a mechusar kipurim, and he's also subject to the mincha is also subject to a psulina. But now, psulina is that which is left overnight. What do we see from this? The Gemara draws an inference here. Kitshu b'kli in, only once it receives its sanctity of kedushas hakli, which is a form of kedushas haguf, the high form of sanctity. Lo kitshu b'kli, lo. But if it's not put into the service vessel, if you just have the originally sanctified mincha prior to its being placed in the service vessel, it has kedushas damim, and as such, it would not have become posel through a tvul yom. So we see what Rabbah has shown in the in this internal brackets that which has kedushas damim status is not subject to a psul tvul yom, and yet we saw before the bracketed section that the ktores is subject to psul of the psul of tvul yom. Therefore, we see that the ketores has kedushas haguf. So now, Rav Chisda comes back and says, "Elamai kedushas hagufi." So, according to you, that you're insisting that the ketores has kedushas haguf, elamayato tiposel balina. If it has kedushas haguf, then the ketores should be subject to the psul of lina, that which is left overnight and not used. Aloma Tanan, so why do we see in the following Tanaic source that amongst other things, there's a long list of things mentioned in this source, but amongst them is the Ktoras, and we see that it is not subject to a psulina until it's put into the service vessel, but prior to that, it is not subject to lina, and the psul lina, and if that be the case, that would show us that it has kedushas damim, as I said, says Rav Chisda. Aloma Tanan, the Gemara continues, why therefore does it say that hakoimetz v'halavoyna v'hakteres uminchas kohanim uminchas kohen moshuach uminchas nesochim moyalin bohem mishim tehukdeshu, all of these items, and it's not the purview of our shir to explain each one of the items. All that's necessary for right now is to emphasize the ketores. They are subject to the isur of mi'ilah once they are initially sanctified. Kitshubikli, this is a later stage in their use. Once they're put into the service vessel, hukshuru li posel b'tvul yom uva mechusar kipurim uva lina. Once they're put into the kli shares, then they are subject to psul lina. And we infer that make a diuk over here, that kitshubikli in, lo kitshubikli lo. Only once they receive kedushas hakli, which is a form of kedushas haguf, that's a later vessel, that's after the grinder, that's after the machteshes. But prior to that, namely, once it's put in the machteshes, that's an earlier stage, it doesn't get kedushas haguf, or let us more accurately say, it's not subject to a psulina, and as a result of that, it shows that the ktores, generally speaking, or up till the kitshu b'kli stage, up to that point, it has only kedushas damim. Otherwise, it would have been subject to the psulino even earlier. Omar Lay, Rabbah says back, Lino Kamris, you're trying to base your position of Kedushas Damim on the fact that it's not subject to a psul lino before Kedushas Hakli, shiny Ktores. Ktores is actually an exception to the rules governing Korbanos, hayo v'tsurasa b'chol hashana kula, since it doesn't change form all year. You can say in your mind's eye, the entire year is considered like one long day with regard to this, so that it doesn't really experience this being left overnight phenomenon. Mikol mokom kashya. Still, after all said and done, we see the Ktores, we see the Tamidim Shelohu Tzuchu, we see them being redeemed even before they get a mum. Mikol mokom kashya, v'chi kedusha shebahen leheichan holcha. Where did the original high sanctity level go that enables you to redeem them before they get a mum? Omar Rabo. And as we mentioned before, this is now the monumental response to the question of how is it that you can redeem Kedushas HaGuf even before it gets a mum. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Ketshuva LaSheila, as an answer to the question, Eich Podim, number one, Tamidim Tamimim Shalutzuchu L'tzibur. How is it that the unused Korban Tamid that wasn't slaughtered and offered up, how can it be redeemed without a mum, Tamim? Number two, V'hakturis L'tashlim Ha'umnin, and the redemption of the incense for the payment of the artisans. Hare kedusha shebehen leheichon holcha. Where did their kedusha go? So, as a response to that question, Hagemara mevia tshuvasel shel Rabba. The Gemara brings Rabba's response. Leiv Beis Din masna lehen. The mind of Beis Din sanctifies them conditionally. We then have a mivne note, a structural note with the house form, with the tip facing up. We call this a ma'akav, dino shel rabo uchuvos litovoso. With the point facing up, we will be presenting Rabo's thesis of leiv bezin masnalein. And as the Gemara goes on, there's a back and forth discussion. When the house form with point facing up, those will be statements that serve to benefit Rabo's position of leiv bezdin masnaleim. When you see the house form pointing downwards, those will be kushyo, so those will be challenges to this particular position. And as you might notice by glancing over to Yud Aleph and Beis, either by turning the page or scrolling down, you will notice that this is a very involved discussion with many, many stages going back and forth. So Rabbo says that if you're going to ask the question of Kedusha Shebehen Leichon Hocha, I will tell you Leiv Bezdin Masnaleim. The court, so to speak, that which is responsible for the sanctification of these different items, sanctifies them with a condition, a tnai, and it says as follows: Im Hutzruchu Hutzruchu. If the items are used, then they are used and fine. The Im Lav Yu L'dmeim. And if not, if they're not used, then they are sanctified only with respect to their value, which we refer to as Kedushas Damim, and they do not have Kedushas Aguf, and as a result of their never getting Kedushas Aguf in the first place, they are able to be redeemed without a mum. Omale Abaye V'ho mor hu di omar hiktish zohar l'domov kodosh kedushas aguf. But you are known to have said that if something, an animal, is sanctified for its money value, it automatically gets kedushas aguf. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Hiktish zocher ledomov. Hiktish ayil ledomov. One sanctified a male animal, an ayil, with respect to its money value. In other words, that you're declaring the value of this animal to be sanctified, which would ordinarily state you would take the animal, sell it, and then use the money to buy sacrifices. But what is Rabba known to have said? That it doesn't it doesn't get a mere Kedushas Domav status. If you do that, if you sanctify a Zohar L'Domav, it automatically gets Kodesh Kedushas Aguf. And Rashi says, V'eino Nimkar, and you cannot sell it, Me'achar Shekdisho, once you sanctified it, Ru Atzmo Roy L'Hakrova, and the item that you sanctified with regard to its value, it is something that itself could have been placed on the Mizbeach. It could have itself been offered on the altar. Eino yotzi midei mizbeach. It doesn't leave its mizbeach status or its mizbeach potential. V'hochanami l'may mahani tenol d'leiv basin. Here too, with the case of the tamidim and the Torahs, how is the leiv basin going to help? Ki amrino nami yu l'dmeim. Even if you were to explicitly say, let it be sanctified only with regard to its money value, which is even a lower level, a more explicit level of low sanctity, where you said outright, I want it to be lidmehem, kachi lahu legufayu. It still jumps up to its kedushas haguf status. So how in the world can Lev Bezdin operate where even an explicit form of sanctification does not operate, doesn't allow it to keep the low level of kedusha? Lo kashya, to that Rabbo responds, Ha di Omar lidmei oila, Ha di Omar lidmei nesachim. It depends how the original sanctification was stated. If you said regarding something that could be a korban ola, in other words, a male animal, male sheep, a male sheep, male goat, for example, an ayil, male sheep. If you said regarding it, I want it to have demei ola status, money value with regard to buying an ola with it. In other words, I would take this isle that I sanctified, the Kedushas Domim, and take it, sell it, and use the money for an ola. But that's not going to work when it itself could have been brought as an ola. Being that it itself could have been brought as an ola, it will automatically get Kedushas Haguf status, even though you said Kedushas Domim. However, if you took an animal and said, I want to sanctify it with respect to nesachim, namely, that I want the value of this animal to be used to buy the accompanying, that which accompanies korbanos, the nesachim, which is comprised of meal offerings and wine. So if a person said that, even though the nesachim themselves also go to the mizbeach, and in that sense, they are like an ola. Nevertheless, the animal is able to be sold. The male animal that you sanctified, the Kedushas Domim, will be sold, and its money used to buy the Nesachim. And if that's the case, all the more so if Beis Din makes an explicit condition that it should be used, that the animals that are not used for the tamid or the ketores that's not going to be used for the incense offering, and the Beis Din says explicitly, if it's not going to be used, then let it be for something called demei mosar truma. Demei mosar truma would be funds that are used for buying the gold used to line the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, the Rikuei Pachim. So if as we said, stated it as a condition, that if it's not used as a tumid, then we want it to have Kedushas Domim for the purpose of buying the gold for the Rikuei Pachim, that will take hold, and they will have never gained, those things not used for their original purpose will never have gained Kedushas Haguf and are able to be redeemed even without a mum. That's the chiluk that Rabbo just mentioned, but we now have a kasha, and that's indicated by the inverted house. We have also a long question indicator, indicating the length of the question, and extends down the first few lines of the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Toward the end of the question, the Gemara will be asking on that which we are about to learn, why is it that we say what we do? Why not just say, Leiv Bezdin Masna Aleihem, and why not allow for redemption, even without developing a mum? Therefore, since we don't see that, we don't see that in operation, we are going to call into question the whole issue of Lev Bezdin being a reality. So let's now see this in the Gemara. Eis mi'abaye. Par v'soyer shel Yom HaKippurim she'ovdu. The par, the Kohen Gadol offering of Yom Kippur, or the goat offerings of Yom Kippur, that got lost. V'hifrish achirim tachteim. And they set aside replacement ones. V'chein sirev v'rezora she'ovdu. And likewise, the goat offerings that are brought in the event that the public is guilty of inadvertent or unknowing idol worship, a special public goat offering is brought. If that animal that was set aside for the purpose of Sira Vodazora got lost, she'avdu, the hifrish achirim tachtem, and he set aside replacement ones, kulan yomusu, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. They are to die. They since they were lost, and you offered other things in their stead, they are to die. Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Yiru Achi Stavu. They don't say that these public sacrifices die, but rather they say let them graze until they develop a mum. V'im Karu V'yiklu D'meim L'Nedava. And then after they develop a mum, they will be sold, and the money will be used for nedava offerings, voluntary offerings, so to speak, or as non-requirement offerings. But we see that the money is used for these other kinds of korbanos. Why do they hold what they say? They argue with Rabbi Yehuda because they hold she'ein chatas tzibur mesa. Public offerings are not subject to being left to die. Rather, the procedure that's done, that's used for those that are not used, is yiru ad shi'istavu. Let them graze until they develop a mum. Well, v'amai, why is this the procedure? Why do they graze till they develop a mum? Lema, why not just say leiv bezdin masna lehem? That when they were originally sanctified, they were granted a conditional sanctity, that if they're used, fine, and if not, for example, in this case, they weren't used because they got lost, and you set aside something else, something, a replacement carbon, which were used. Why not say about these, since they were not used, they never got their original Kedusha Zaguf sanctity, and they can be redeemed even without a mum? Why in this source does it indicate that they're going to graze until they get a mum? So to this, Rabba responds, Avudim Koamris, are you trying to ask on me from the case of things that are lost? Shiny Avudim Delo Shrichi. The case of something getting lost is unusual. And as a rule, when we talk about Bezdin making a Tanai or making a Gezerah, the court intervention takes place only concerning items that are of a common nature. Something that's unusual does not draw the attention of the court. And as a result, all of these conditions or different rules that are imposed by the Rabbonin concerning items or situations that are unusual just doesn't take place. As a result, the original halacha will say, in other words, they were sanctified, therefore, unconditionally. The phenomenon of a getting lost was never taken into consideration, and they have kedushas haguf, an unconditional kedushas haguf, and to that we know they cannot be redeemed unless they develop a mum. The Gemara now asks, Haray, this would be Abaye coming back with a question. Are you trying to say that because something is not shchiach, it doesn't benefit from the leiv bezdin masneh, from the tanai bezdin? Hare pora delo shchicha, the case of the pora aduma is something that's not usual, and it's pointed out that historically there were very few pora adumas that were ever prepared. The pora aduma is that animal, the known sometimes as the red heifer, that was prepared for the purpose of tahara from tumas mace. Its ashes were mixed with water and then sprinkled upon people that were tomei tumas mace. The source says regarding the pora aduma, the Tanya, let's read that again. Varei pora delo shchicha, the pora, the red heifer, which is an unusual event V'tanya, and you have a Tanaic source that says, Pora nifdeis al kol psul sheba. The Pora can be redeemed with regard to any kind of deficiency that arises. It also says here, Mesa tifdeh, Nishchata tifdeh. If it died, it can be redeemed. If it was slaughtered, it can be redeemed. If it was slaughtered chutz l'mekomo, outside of its correct place, the har, it's supposed to be slaughtered on the har hazesim, and if it's done chutz l'mekomo, then it can be redeemed. Motza acheres noah himeno tivdeh, and if you found a nicer one, a nicer pora aduma, then the original one can be redeemed. And we might as well point out that if you found a nicer one, what about the original one? Fine, it can be redeemed, even though there's no mum. So we see right from here that something that's unusual still can be redeemed without a mum. The source goes on to say, Shachta agabi marachasa, once it's slaughtered on in its designed location, ein la pedia ilomis. If it's actually processed, it's slaughtered on its on the Har HaZesim, Har HaMashchos, Rashi refers to it. At that point, it can no longer be redeemed. But for our purposes, we, with the dashed underline, we emphasized and also included a note on the side where you see the little star that it's tifteh. We say if you found a nicer one, the original one is redeemed. Balimum, we've indicated. So, and we've also indicated on the side, mikan royim degam belo shviach leiv bezin masna, that even concerning situations that are unusual, the court condition sets in. In other words, the court does make tanoim, does make conditions concerning things that are unusual. So to this, Rabba responds, shiny para. The case of para is different. The kachi berek habayasi. It has kedushas berek habayas. It's sanctified with regard to its value for temple repair. In the realm of sanctification, we may have mentioned earlier, but better late than never, there are different levels of sanctity. We've alluded to them, to a couple of them already in our discussion. We've mentioned kedushas hakuf, kedushas domim, and now kedushas berek habayis. Without getting into the details of these different types of kedusha, suffice it to say that as far as Rab is concerned, only when you're dealing with kedushas haguf, which we'll call the highest form of sanctity, only then would there arise a necessity for a mum in order to allow for its redemption. But since the pora is technically speaking not even a sacrifice in the conventional sense, it's not slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash at all, it's categorized as something else, as Kedushas Berek Habayis, and as a result of that, it can be redeemed without a mum, and it doesn't need the Leiv Bezdin Masna Olav. The Gemara continues with the back and forth discussion. We also have noted with a double underline dots marking, another series marking, the emphasis of the expression shiny pora, that in the, as the discussion ensues, we're going to be highlighting that response, that pora is different. In other words, if you're going to be asking on me, says Rabba, if you're going to ask on me from the topic of pora, I'm going to eventually be able to point out that the pora is not a question on my responses, and that we've emphasized that with the expression, with the highlighting the expression shiny pora. Let's continue and attempt to follow the back and forth and use the markings to their fullest advantage. And so at this point, Rabba responds by saying the pora never had kedushas aguf status in the first place, and therefore it can be redeemed without the need of employing the leiv bezdin masnaleim. I hachi mesa o nishchata. Notice this is a quote from the source a few lines up, and if you look at the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice an asterisk that we've written in, and you can find a few lines up where this quote is coming from. If this be the case that it has kedushas berek habayis, then mesa o nishchata tivdeh, if it dies or was slaughtered at in an incorrect location, it can be redeemed. How can a dead animal be redeemed? In order for it to be redeemed, in order for this Kedushas Berech HaBayis to be redeemed, it would have to be able to stand up and be evaluated. But it's dead, and it can't go through that necessary requirement of Hamod of Arocha. So Rabba says back, Ha money, this source that says Mesa Tifte, Rabbi Shimon, this is according to Rabbi Shimon, the Omar, Kotche Mizbeach, Hoyu Bichlal Hamod of Arocha, Kotche Berech HaBayis, Lo Hoyu Bichlal Hamod of Arocha. The need for Hamod of Arocha does not apply to Kotche Berech HaBayis. It may apply to Kotche Mizbeach, things that have been sanctified for the altar, for sacrificial purposes. That's the first category, but that doesn't concern us because we're dealing with the Pora, and that's the second category, that's the Beis category, that's Kotche Berech HaBayis, and they were never included in the need for Hamod of Arocha. Well, the Abaye then comes back and asks, E. Rebbe Shimon, if as you're claiming that the Pora source is according to Rebbe Shimon, Emo Seifa, then state the Seifa. Let us use the arrows that we see written in to help you find where this Seifa quote is coming from. And you can see it's a few lines up where you find the parallel arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. And it says in the Seifa, Shachta, let us note before we go further, that this is part of a long comment, and we've indicated that with a length marker to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see an inverted house with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of Abaye's question to Rabbah. He's saying, if this is according to Rabbi Shimon, then the Seifa, state the Seifa, it says, Shachta al-gabi ma'arochosa ein lo padiyah oylomis. That if once it's sanctified in its designated location, it no longer has padiya, no longer is subject to redemption. Well, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not the case. And you'll see just a few lines later, we've dashed underlined the expression Nifteis al-gabi ma'arochosa, which stands in contrast to that which we've just noted, also with a dashed underline. So let's read this inside. V'hotanya. If the source were in fact according to Rabbi Shimon, then the Seifa just doesn't check out because we have Rabbi Shimon saying V'hotanya Rabbi Shimon Omer Pora mitama tumas oichlin hoil v'hoisel loshas hakosher. The Pora aduma is subject to tumas oichlin. It is in the realm. It's considered in the realm of food with all the halachas, detailed legal points that are associated with food, and one of those areas is called tumas oichlin. How could you even categorize the por aduma, which is slaughtered and then burnt for its ashes? How can you possibly categorize a pora as oichlin? So Rabbi Shimon says it's categorized as Ochlin since it had the potential, it had a moment of potential. That's the expression v'hoisa lo shas ha-kosher. And what does that mean? What do you mean it had potential for being food? The Omer Reish Lakish, Omer Hoya Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Pora nifteis al gabi marachosa, that even after it's slaughtered, the Pora aduma could be redeemed. Let's say you found a nicer one. So before you burnt the one that you slaughtered for ashes, you can turn around and redeem the slaughtered animal. And once you redeem it, it turns into food. It becomes mundane and you can use it, you can eat it, you can make steak out of the previous por aduma. So we see that the source featuring the pora cannot be labeled as Rabbi Shimon, as we attempt to do by after declaring it as Kedushas Berech HaBayis, and then we raise the question of what about Hamod of Arocha? We say, well, Hamod of Arocha is no problem because this is going according to Rabbi Shimon. But it's not going according to Rabbi Shimon because the Seifa says that it has no Padiyah after it's on the Marocha, it's on its slaughtering location on Har HaZeisim, and Rabbi Shimon says it does have redemption. Ella, well, Rabba comes back and says, even so, okay, so it's not Rabbi Shimon, but still, Pora does not present a problem. Hoil v'domeha yikorin, since it's very, very expensive. And therefore, even though it's not Shachiach, Leiv Bezdin Masna Leah, Bezdin does, Basin's attention is drawn to it, and they will make a Tanai, and the Tanai will say that, and the Tanai will enable this redemption to take place. So as far as the issue of Leiv Bezdin Masnaleim is concerned with regard to the Pora is no problem. Let us take a look at the Rashi, and you'll find him in the on the lower part of the page. Dibur Masel Ella, we have a little asterisk we've written in. Ella lo sukma k Rebbe Shimon. Don't set up the case of Pora according to Rebbe Shimon, which would have enabled us to get around the problem of where it said Shachta, and it's still Nifdes after it's been slaughtered, and the issue of Hamor Avrocha was arose. And we said that's not a problem because it goes according to Rebbe Shimon. So we're saying, forget Rebbe, don't set it up like Rebbe Shimon. And that which we said, that even if you found a nicer one, you can redeem the original Pora, even though there is no mum. I'll tell you why. Because the court does impose a condition concerning the Pora, even though it's uncommon. Even since it's very expensive, it does occur to Beis Din to impose their condition. With that, we will now continue it with the Gemara, but notice that there's a bracketed section. The explanation behind the bracket, the use of brackets here, is found on the side of the Gemara. Hezver hasugrayim matorosam laharois sheha omar mar, that the omar mar, which is at the inside the brackets, eino tchilas mahalach chadosh, it's not the beginning of a new sugya, which often is the case when you see in the Gemara omar mar, it's a quote from something stated earlier, and then the discussion continues, and a new discussion continues concerning that quote. Here is this is not the case. It's not the beginning of a mahalach chadosh, elo heoro al hamokor dileel. It's simply a notation, or it's simply a elucidation on the source that was said above. Acharei hasugrayim, mamshicho hamasu matan soviv hashelo yamrinu lebezin masna lehem. After the brackets, the question, the discussion concerning do we say leiv bezdin masna lehem, that particular discussion continues. So right before the brackets, we ended off with Rabba maintaining his position that Leiv Bezdin Masna Aleo is a reality, and it also figures within the case of the Pora. After the brackets, Eisve, you'll notice a question coming from Abaye, or that which represents Abaye, and at the end of the source, right after the source, the Gemara raises the question, Vamai, Lema Leiv Bezdin Masna Aleam. Couldn't Reb Shimon have offered in his response within this source, which we haven't learned yet, could he not have said Leiv Bezdin Masna Aleam? And by the fact that he didn't offer that as an explanation, it shows that it probably does not exist. Let us now go back over the Gemara, reading the bracketed section. Omar Mar, Meso Tifdeh. We have an asterisk to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can find a parallel asterisk above, also on the left-hand side, showing where this comes from, this quote comes from. We said concerning the Pora Aduma, if it dies, it can be redeemed. Well, what are you going to do with an animal that died? You can't eat it. It didn't undergo slaughtering. Is one allowed to redeem that which had been sanctified to be fed to the dogs? What in the world, therefore, is the redemption of a dead Pora going to accomplish? Omar of Mesharshia Mishum Oira. The redemption is for allowing the skin to be used. The dead Pora will then be skinned, and you'll be able to derive leather value from it, from the skins. Question: the Kaimi Bezdin Umasnu Adaita the Oro? Does Bezdin make its conditions with the concern of which the concern of the skin? The question, the underlying point here being that the skin is a rather minor value when looking at the cost of the entire animal. So how is it that Bezdin's attention is drawn to something of such a minor nature? Omar of Kahano, Amri Inshi, Migamlo, Uno. The common saying shows that, yes, the attention is placed to even that which is minor. The common saying is translated as from a camel, Uno, its ear. That means that when one has something of value, he pays attention to even those aspects of it that are of a minor nature. So the idea of the Lev Bezdin Masne on the para, allowing for pidyon after it dies, even though the skin is the only beneficiary of that particular redemption, so be it. Bezdin's mindset is drawn to that, and they do impose their conditions. In other words, it's Lev Bezdin Masne Aleihem allows for the redemption of a poraduma that died, even though there was no previous mum. Eisvei, the Gemara now raises an objection. Abaye raises an objection. The objection, as we mentioned in our introduction, concerns the issue of Lev Bezdin. Is that really so, that the court allows for conditional sanctification? Omru lo le Rabbi Shimon, mahu shiyikrivu ze boze. This is a quote from our Mishnah, and namely from Daf Beis. If a korban, let us say, of the goat offering of Rosh Chodesh was lost and then was found on before a Yom Tov, can you offer the Rosh Chodesh offering on Yom Tov? So Omar Lahu, Rab Shimon says back, Yikrivu, yes, you can. Omru lo, so they asked him, Hoyol v'ein kaparoson shove heichein kravim ze bozeh. Since the different animals offer atonement for different aspects of Tumas Mikdosh Vikodoshav, how is it that you can offer a Rosh Chodesh Korban on a subsequent holiday? Omar Lehen, Kulon Boyin Lechapir Al Tumas Mikdosh Vikodoshav. He says that they all have something in common. In other words, they were all designed for atonement concerning Tumas Mikdash Vekodoshov, and therefore, even though the Rosh Chodesh Korban was originally sanctified for a different detail concerning Tumas Mikdash Vekodoshov, it can nevertheless be used as a holiday goat offering because of the fact that originally it was sanctified for the same general purpose. So Abaye points out, V'amai, why does Reb Shimon give this rather dochak response? This is the terminology that you'll find in Rashi. He calls it a shinuya dechika. Why does he use this response? He could have given a more streamlined response and by saying, Lemo leiv bezdin masne aleihem, that when the original animal was sanctified, when the Rosh Chodesh goat offering was sanctified, it was sanctified conditionally, that if it's used for Rosh Chodesh, then fine, and if not, if it's not going to be used in Rosh Chodesh, then it shall be sanctified for the purposes of a holiday korban. Now, since Rabbi Shimon didn't mention Lev Bezdin Masne Aleihem, that brings into question the existence of such an institution. Rabbo responds, Rabbi Shimon Ko Amris, you're trying to ask on me from a source featuring the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon less lay Lev Bezdin Masne Aleihem. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to this entire institution called Lev Bezdin Masne Aleihem. The Omar of Idi Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Amram, Omar of Yochanan, Temidim Shelo Hutzruchu Letzibor, Ledivrei Rabbi Shimon, Ein Niftin Temimim. Let's not forget, this was the opening of our entire sugya, the issue of the Temidim, the daily public sacrifice that was not those animals that were set aside and eventually not used for their purpose, according to Rabbi Shimon, they cannot be redeemed tumim. They cannot be redeemed without a mum. Why is it that it cannot be redeemed without a mum? Because they have kedushas aguf. And being that they have kedushas aguf, redemption cannot be made unless it develops a mum. And you see no reference here to some type of conditional sanctification that would allow for redemption even without a mum. That's because this is Rabbi Shimon. However, ledivrei chachamim, niftin tamimim. And this is the opinion that Rabbi Yochanan was reflecting at the very, very beginning of the sukkah, that namely on daf Yud Omid Beis, we saw Rabbi Yochanan in a firebox. He said, tamidim shalutzuchu letzibur niftin tamimim. This is the shitas harabonan, the rabbonan who disagree with Rabbi Shimon. At this point, the Gemara opens up a question, an inquiry, we'll say, v'rabbonan depligi yoleidu Rabbi Shimon man ninu. Who are these rabbonan? Which opinion is that? Or who? Where do we see their opinion reflected elsewhere? Who is this rabbonan that is cholik on Rabbi Shimon? And the Gemara will continue in its investigation on daf Yud Beis, but we, at this point, will conclude our shiur for today.